on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall, and I'm here at the corner of Charles and North Avenue in Station North, the Arts and Entertainment District, standing in front of a beautiful, large mural on the side of a building. It's part of Open Walls Baltimore 2. The artist is Gaia, who has an international reputation. He's just back from Australia, where he's been working there. He was featured in an exhibition at the Baltimore Museum of Art last season. He is not only a participating artist in this project, Open Walls Baltimore 2, he's also the curator of it. Gaia, it's great to meet you.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
So let's talk first about the piece that you've done for this project, Open Walls Baltimore, which is a collection of murals. There are 15 muralists who are involved. You're one of them. Describe to our listeners what we're looking at here.
For Open Walls Baltimore 2, I was able to pop off the first mural. And what we have here is a three-story wall with an African-American figure on the bottom right-hand corner taking up most of the composition. And that leads into a Korean tiger that is reclining and half-finished with a projection extending out from the man's shoulders of the Angelus Law Center, recently built by University of Baltimore. And then that fades into an Albert Bierstadt landscape painting, View of Yosemite. That ultimately concludes in the top left corner of a figure of Mercury extending sort of past the frame, and then various neighbors populating the foreground and giving it some spatial effect.
So how did you come up with these particular images and make the decision to juxtapose, you know, an African-American guy in a baseball cap, an Asian tiger, a taxi cab, people, various figures, etc.?
I used the generation of the site or the specificity of the site and different things that sort of determine this neighborhood environment as a foundation and a leaping point, but I wanted to create a kind of deconstructivist collage, something that does make one question how a mural functions, not only socially but visually. And so, yes, once again, this is a kind of deconstructivist approach that is very bare bones and is left very raw, and I threw it all together to create some sort of meaning, to kind of call into question those issues, kind of queer the notion of a mural.
So how does a mural function? What is your particular aspiration here? Are murals meant to solve a particular problem or address a particular issue?
Murals can function in any sort of color of ways. They can be celebratory in their aesthetics. They can be something that constructs and re-edifies identity. They can be something that calls into question certain issues. They can be didactic. They can be pragmatic. They can also be even pedagogical. I strive to create something that is ambiguous and is not whatsoever didactic and does not try to solve anything. You know, art isn't going to feed anybody per se. It is possible that it could, and hopefully it feeds at least the participating artist. But beyond that, it is solely something as a reflection and a mirror back onto that place and back onto the people that populate that place. And the people that populate that place do change over time and transform. And that mural stays this kind of static testament to a certain moment.
You've obviously done a lot of thinking about, you know, what murals can do, what their capacity for reaching people is. Have you studied how people view your art? Have you studied how people take in this mural? Are people glancing at it as they whiz by in their cars on Charles Street? Are they stopping and, you know, hanging out in the lot that's next to this wall, as you and I are doing now? What's your impression of how people are taking this in?
The most exciting aspect of painting a mural is the performative process of actually, creating the piece. And so I get to have conversations, hear stories, get yelled at, get total elation, get the whole spectrum of human emotions, and that's exactly what one tries to elicit when you are creating something that is in someone's home, that is in someone's neighborhood, something that they feel super invested in. And so you want to kind of galvanize everyone either through through the negative or the positive. You know, if I get someone who gives me a shout out and is like, "That looks fresh," that is just as good as someone who comes out and goes, "There are people dying every day in Baltimore City. Why are you painting a tiger?" These are, I guess, the firmament of emotions that happen on the side and don't necessarily constitute the piece, but they do actually and are reflected within this work, because I actually have neighbors that I encountered improvisationally inputted within the composition. In terms of how people respond, I'm not a scientist, and I'm you know, maybe as far as I get, it's maybe social science. But beyond that, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a developer. I'm not anything else but an artist. So my purview is the question. And I'm not really concerned with any sort of solution.
And what's the most important question? How would you succinctly describe, if you can succinctly describe, what the question is? And is the question the same with every mural, or are you asking different questions with different murals?
Every mural has a different question because every mural has a different context. And of course, meaning is nothing without context. So I generate all my work from the site and the environment that I'm in. And it is a very research-heavy process. But ultimately, the real question is, how do we constitute ourselves? How do we define ourselves? And how do we reflect ourselves and our identities back into the greater realm of the contested public?
On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. I'm standing here in an open field in a little lot, a vacant lot, next to a large mural by the artist Gaia, who's our guest this morning here on Maryland Morning. He's part of Open Walls Baltimore 2. Gaia is not only a participating artist, but the curator of this project that spans the entirety of Station North. Gaia, let's talk a little bit about the fear. What's at the premise? What's the fundamental ingredient of the fear?
Ultimately, the artist community, which is represented by Station North, is afraid of this notion of gentrification and of being a wedge or of being used and or complicit in this process of gentrification, which ultimately will conclude in displacement and the displacement of those who do not have as many resources. And of course, everyone wants to live adjacent to one another and wants to be good neighbors. And right now, we actually have a pretty beautiful neighborhood in terms of that balance of income levels, of interests, of passions. And I believe that everyone feels as if the scales may be tipped to such a way that it would definitely change the complexion of the neighborhood on a lot of various levels. So that's where we are. That is that underlying fear. That is very much the undercurrent of everything that we do for Open Walls. I want the work to address this fear, either in the positive or in the negative, either directly or very ambiguously. And then, of course, I want it to extend beyond that fear because, of course, making murals that are entirely based off of a notion of fear is not necessarily the most great platform per se.
Of course, a conversation about gentrification could far exceed the time that we have this morning, but does gentrification automatically assume displacement of the people who live here already? I mean, the fact that Station North is now a destination for, you know, a lot of people who are interested in various kinds of art, performance art, visual art. There are restaurants here that didn't used to be here. I mean, I've lived in close to this neighborhood for 30-something years. It's certainly a very different place than it was, but does that necessarily require the people who have been here historically to get kicked out?
Whether or not people who have been here historically, otherwise known, you know, the euphemism as legacy residents, can be displaced, and or whether the artists will eventually displace themselves, or even if the artists have actually any real responsibility in the matter, is not really my purview. I study gentrification extensively, but it is a very complicated process. I believe that I should just say one thing, and that is that Open Walls contextually right now is kind of assumed amongst those who haven't done much exploration of our real intention that it is complicit in this process of gentrification. But also murals can very much signify the hood. You know, this is a problem in Philadelphia for Philadelphia mural arts. People actually don't want any more murals because they believe that it just signifies the hood. And it's funny that a mural could also, of the same exact iteration or the same exact composition or the same exact concept, also be expressive of gentrification or reinvestment. So context is key, and that is the context that we were in. And I would just like to acknowledge that process as we move forward. Whether or not I am directly having any effect is up to those who know more about those processes or those who have the capital to actually make these things function.
You curated this exhibition, and that gives you, you know, the wherewithal and the imprimatur to, you know, to find other artists who can do things that you think, you know, collectively will make a good collection. A few years ago, one of the raps that the Baltimore Museum of Art took in particular was that they never featured local artists. They ended up featuring you and some others and have continued to feature local artists. You made a decision to feature and to include a lot of artists who are not from Baltimore. There are some in the Baltimore arts community that said, hey, you know, why not use the locals? How come?
we really want to bring international attention to Baltimore City. That doesn't happen if you have a totally provincial lineup, insofar that you don't look outside the bounds of our county. Our roster is divided in thirds, a third international, a third national, and a third local. We have provided remarkable and tremendous opportunities to local artists, Jesse and Katie, namely being a kind of unbelievable example insofar that I've seen them in Hawaii, Sheboygan, Rochester. I'm not going to say that's all because of Open Walls whatsoever, because they are remarkable individuals, great artists, extremely sensitive community outreach. But we have put a lot of people on the map. We continue to put Baltimore on the map. When I am, you know, in Perth, people continue to talk about Baltimore, wanting to come to Baltimore. When I'm in Rome, people continue to talk about Baltimore. When I look on a blog and I see new mural in London, new mural in Amsterdam, new mural in Baltimore, that's something that excites me. I'm in the city only 3 to 4 months out of the year. I've called it home for 8 years. I am a citizen of the world. And I want to bring that capacity back to the city that I love so much. I don't think that we owe it to ourselves to hide in a box. And I would love to include as many people as possible, but we function on an extremely lean budget. We do a totally rare and spectacular job of making everything as efficiently as possible. And so I'm frankly unapologetic, because I believe that it brings so much attention to the city and also becomes a great crossover of techniques, styles, and concepts between the local artists that are involved and the international and national artists that come to this great city.
Well, Guy, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's a beautiful piece, and the rest of the murals are also really provocative and interesting. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Guy is a participating artist and the curator of Open Walls Baltimore 2. It's a collection of large-scale murals on buildings throughout the Station North Arts and Entertainment District. The murals will be up for the foreseeable future. You can check them out anytime. The closing party to celebrate Open Walls Baltimore 2 happens tonight. It starts at 6 o'clock at the Plaza at Penn Station, and it includes performances, a video, and lots of dancing. We've got information on our website at wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Reporting from Station North on 88.1 WIPR, I'm Tom Hall.
Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WYPR, in Baltimore.
The program is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. I'm Tom Hall. I'm the culture editor.
Coffee provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville on the web at zekescoffee.com.
You can find us online at wipr.org/Maryland Morning. You can leave a comment about something you've heard or make a suggestion about an interview you think you should hear on our show.
On 88.1 WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. For the whole Maryland Morning team, thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.